This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hey, good morning. This is Arvind Yuvaraj and you are listening to Enterprise. And since it's December and a lot of you will be traveling and going on holiday very, very soon or already are on your journeys, I thought why not talk about a really useful travel app that you can use on today's show. The name of the app is Roam to Rio. That's Roam and then the number 2 and then Rio. And you can download it via the App Store, the Play Store, or you can just check it out on roamtorio.com. And what you do is, let's say you want to know how to get from KL to Thailand, for example. What you do is you put in KL as your point A in the app, and then you put in Thailand as point B, and then Roam to Rio gives you all your transport options, you know, like your flights, your trains, your buses, your ride sharing, your Ubers and Grabs and all that, your ferries, all of it, together with prices and estimated travel times. They have over 4,800 transport providers in over 158 countries, so it's very, very comprehensive. Anyway, Roam to Rio is way more than just a search engine. It is also a travel guide, it is a planner, and they're growing into a full-blown booking app as well. So with this kind of growth, I wanted to know more, so I caught up with the founder of Roam to Rio. His name is Rod Cuthbert, and I caught up with him at the Web and Travel conference that happened recently in Singapore. And we sat down for a very insightful chat about growth, about plans for the future, and just Roam to Rio's potential in the travel sector today. I want to talk about curation and data collection. So where does Roam to Rio pull information from? Like, how do you curate like all the modes of transport and then keep them up to date after that?
So over the last few years, governments around the world have adopted this thing called open standards or open data for the publication of transport network information. So in other words, in the United Kingdom, if you're in the business of running a public transportation network of any sort, whether you're a bus, a train, an airline, etc., you have to, by law, publish the information about your schedules and routes, etc., etc., so that third parties like us can take that information and provide it to consumers. So many places around the world are doing that. And for those places that don't, then we have our own staff who go out into the marketplace, and Greece would be an example where there's lots of buses and there's lots of ferries, and Greece doesn't have that legislation yet, so there's no rule saying they have to publish. Typically, these are smaller organisations and they don't really know anything about that anyway. So we'll go to them and we'll get their schedule and route information from them in whatever format they have it, either as an electronic file or as printed documentation, and then we'll re-enter it if necessary.
So some of it is manual and some of it is automatic, right? So if it's a manual process, do you approach these transport providers, you know, for their information?
Yeah, and in some cases we don't even approach them. Just like Google crawls websites all over the world, so the website really doesn't have to do anything. Their data just appears in Google unless you put essentially a do not crawl notice on your site, which some sites choose to do. Then you're going to appear in Google. And the same with Roam to Rio. We will crawl transportation sites to collect the route and schedule information. And invariably, I can't think of an example where a transport operator has said, oh, no, we don't want to be in Roam to Rio. They absolutely do want to be on Roam to Rio because we're a definitive source of that type of data.
Let's talk about the market gap. How did you realize that there was an untapped market there? Like, what's the story behind the story of Roam to Rio? Like, where did the idea come from?
Well, it was really a fairly classic story for a travel startup. There were two guys, Michael Cameron and Bernie Sheeran, who were both working at Microsoft in Seattle, both computer scientists, Australians who had been at Microsoft for a number of years, and they both travelled fairly extensively around Europe in their annual vacations, and both were quite frustrated. And I guess they were both also looking for a complex travel problem to solve. you know, in order to do a startup. So they decided to solve this particular problem of sort of, you know, creating a global database of transportation data, which, you know, when you think about it, you couldn't ask for a bigger problem. And I guess I met them and joined them shortly afterwards because they're not business guys, and they didn't know the travel industry, and they felt it would be better to tackle this problem from sort of inside, but not inside, but at least with a knowledge of what the travel industry is all about.
And then that's when they came up with a solution like this, like Rome to Rio.
Yeah, that was in 2011-12.
Yep. People have changed, you know. No one wants the tour guide travel anymore. People want to be more adventurous, I think. And they want control and they want to choose their modes of transport and accommodation. Was that one of the biggest factors behind Rome to Rio?
Yeah. So if we look at an example of something like Berlin to Frankfurt, for example, in Germany, very dense transportation network, very competitive. You could, you know, right now there are people flying between those two cities. There's other people on a fast train. There are people on slower, cheaper trains. There are people on buses. There are people using rideshare. They're using BlaBlaCar. And there are other people who are self-driving. So that's, what, half a dozen different options. And even somebody who does that trip frequently would not be able to tell you with any accuracy what the different price points and journey times were. It's just too hard to keep all of that stuff in your head. It's a perfect problem for a computer system. So, you know, the density and complexity of Europe really led us to you know, push this solution out into the market.
So the evolution of the company, can you tell me about the evolution of Rome to Rio? Like, it started as a search engine of sorts, a travel search engine of sorts, and now it's growing into like a full-blown booking app, right?
Yeah, I think it's, I'd pick you up on the use of the phrase app, although, you know, perhaps a better phrase is service, because you can access it via the web or via either an iPhone or an Android app. And probably more of our users, about 55% of our users are coming from mobile devices nowadays, so they are using apps or at least mobile browser implementations. But anyway, going off the track, the evolution has been from simply being a search engine where we're providing the information and then linking the user to a third party if they want to actually do something like make a booking, remembering that many people just want the information. They just want to say, well, how do I get from Rome to Capri? Do you fly there? Is there, like, how? How do you get there? Well, the answer is you take the train to Naples and then you take a ferry. Okay, now I know. So I don't actually want to do anything about that. You know, I'm thinking of going there next year, but I just wanted to know the answer to that question. Mm-hmm. And then there's the other type of user is, I'm going today. I need to make a booking. So that's an important evolution for us. We've begun rolling out partnerships, which technically means an API integration, so that the customer can come to our site, get the information, and then make a booking and get an e-ticket delivered to them instantly. So we now offer on-site bookings for trains in many locations, including all of the UK, Italy, Amtrak in the United States, Via Rail in Canada, Renfe in Spain is another important one, and we're just rolling out in the next couple of weeks Deutsche Bahn for Germany and SNCF for France. So that's a lot of the European market covered. And we're also, probably by the end of this year, we'll have bus bookings across Europe and also ferry bookings in many markets around the world. So it's really becoming a multimodal booking service as well.
So was that the natural progression of things? Was this always the trajectory that you wanted to take?
Yeah, I think so. I think, well, there's nowhere else to go. If, you know, the feedback we're getting from our clients is, we love your service, it's really fast, we love the sort of the design and everything and using the service, and you provide great information, but then you link us off to a third-party site, and often the booking process is sort of, it's ugly or it doesn't work or whatever, and sort of they've gotten confidence working with us, so they're ready to make a booking and they want to do it with us.
Yeah, and they don't want to have to branch out into another site. They don't want to have to visit a third party site, and you don't want to be dependent on the site as well, because if they're down, then it reflects badly on you as well. It's as though you're tied when actually you're not responsible for their downtime at all.
Correct. And look, we used to have a relationship, for example, with Loco2. A really fabulous site that manages rail bookings in many parts of Europe, including the UK. When we launched our own booking capability, the number of bookings we were getting instantly went up by more than 2 times. Now, that wasn't because Loco2 aren't great. Loco2 are great. They have a fabulous UX, terrific customer service. This is, you can't fault them. But people just don't like being sent to a third-party site. So we benefited instantly just by having it on our own site.
I caught up with Rod Cuthbert at the Web and Travel Conference in Singapore to talk about Roam to Rio, which is a travel planner and search engine that gives you every travel option with fares and estimated travel time from any point A to any point B that you are traveling to. And if you're traveling soon, you should download the app and check it out. It's extremely straightforward, very easy to use. I can personally vouch for it. More from Rod and Roam to Rio coming up after these messages. BFM 89.9.
Barcelona, Fiorentina, Manchester United, BFM 89.9.
Hello, this is Arvind Yuvraj, and you are listening to Enterprise. You're still listening to Enterprise, and today's episode is all about a travel and transport service called Roam to Rio. It is an app that lets you check out comprehensive transport options from any point A to any point B, with fares and estimated travel times as well. And I managed to catch up with Roam to Rio founder Rod Cuthbert at the Web and Travel Conference in Singapore recently. And we spoke about the app and how it's becoming a full-blown booking app as well, and not just a travel search engine. You mentioned users. You said that a lot of them are using the website and about 55% of them are using the app itself. Now, the app has 100,000 downloads on the Play Store, on the Google Play Store. And last year, the site was getting about 8 million monthly visitors. So why the divide? Like, are people more accustomed to the website and not the app? Is there lack of awareness for the app?
Right now, we're in a, our traffic is very seasonal. It follows the northern summer, so we trend upwards from January through August, and this year we reached a peak of around about 15 million unique visitors in August, and then we trend downwards towards the end of the year. So the 55% refers to users who came from a mobile device. Many of those didn't use an app, they just used the browser on their phone. And that's probably because, our app development has been lagging a little bit. We're still a small, 20-odd development team, and we've been very focused on integrating booking partners and less focused on our app. So that's shifting a little bit. So more focus and more new hires are going into the app, and you'll see new versions of both the Android and iPhone apps over the coming months. So we'll shift more of the people who are using a browser onto the native app.
Yeah. You mentioned, coming back to the part where, this could be like a full-blown booking system. That puts you in the same sphere as the Expedias and the Trivagos and all the bigger players in that scene. So are they competition, or are you like in a completely different niche market?
Well, I'd say that we've got competitors in a number of different ways. First of all, Google is a competitor at the search engine level because you can use Google Maps to discover a lot, not all of the same information that we have, but a lot of the same information. They only show data from operators who supply it in the GTFS format. That's Google's transport file system format. We also collect data from people manually, so we've actually got a lot more operators than they do. But still, they're a formidable competitor, and I've no doubt they've got more traffic than we do because, you know, they're sort of at the top of the funnel. The other competitors we have are companies like GoEuro, Trainline, Loco2. There's a number of great companies emerging in Europe that really specialize in rail booking. Loco2 also do bus booking, so they're multimodal. So that makes them more of a proxy for us. We're different in that we offer more markets. So, you know, we'll sell you a ticket in North America, in Brazil, you know, sort of anywhere around the globe. And we also are very multimodal in that, you know, we have rideshare, we have ferries. Basically, if it moves, we want to sell you a ticket on it.
So more modes of transport and a wider coverage area.
Yeah, and I guess the bigger coverage area is really the key thing. The sort of positioning we're hoping for, and I think we're beginning to achieve, is that a customer can say, look, I was travelling in New Zealand and I was able to figure out my journey plan on Rome to Rio, and I was actually able to book some of the buses that I travel on in New Zealand on Rome to Rio. And then I found myself in Croatia wanting to go over to Italy, and I booked a ferry on Rome to Rio. And then I was in New York, and I figured out that a good way to get from New York to Boston was X, whatever it is, and I did that on Rome to Rio too. So it's sort of across the globe.
Can I, you know, I was going to ask you about that. If you could personally pick anywhere in the world to go via Rome to Rio by using your own app, what would your point A and point B be, and why?
For me?
Yeah, for you. I mean, you know, specifically for you, and what would be your preferred mode of transport? Like, what would that be?
You know, I've been talking about Rome to Rio for about 5 years now, and my favourite A and B are Split to Ancona. So that's Split in Croatia, 15th century city on the Croatian coast, really beautiful place. And Ancona, a port city on Italy's east coast. And you can fly, I suppose. I don't know. I think you can. You can take the ferry. You can take a combination of buses and trains, or you can drive. But it sort of rolls off the tongue. Split to Ancona.
Which mode of transport, then?
Oh, the ferry. I like travelling over the water.
You don't get seasick?
You know, I went from Melbourne to down to Tasmania on the boat the other night. It was really, you know, 3-metre waves, but we took a pill and went to sleep, and it was all good. You know, one of the great things that we're doing at Rome to Rio is we're getting people off of planes where you really don't see anything, and we put them on the surface of the planet. Where you can see a lot more things and meet a lot more people, and people really like that.
I want to talk about exits for a bit. You founded Viator, and then you sold it to TripAdvisor a few years later. So, I mean, I know this is like it's a bit of a touchy subject. It's a personal question, but some people start startups just to exit, right? So, with an exit in mind. So, is that the future of Rome to Rio?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting observation you've made. There are many startups in the marketplace, whether it's in travel or some other sector, where it's actually a financial play. It's all about the process, the game of raising money and engineering an exit or an IPO or something like that. We are definitely not like that. We're doing this because this is a really interesting problem to solve. From a technical, you know, from a computer science point of view. The content is really challenging and global. And when people discover it, they love it. So the psychic income that we get as individuals within the company is really strong and powerful. So even before money comes into it at all, it is a very rewarding company to be associated with. You just look at our Twitter feed. We constantly got telling people telling us we're the best thing. So that's really great. Now, what happens with companies in the travel space? It's a very acquisitive space. The big companies, Priceline, Expedia, TripAdvisor, Ctrip, and others, including Google, they do have a tendency to swoop in on companies. And we've seen it in the metasearch space with Kayak and Skyscanner and Momondo all being scooped up for really big numbers. And I suppose there's potential for that to happen with companies like us and Go Euro. We saw the French company Captain Train being bought by Trainline. Loco 2 was acquired recently. But I would observe that if you think about that too much, you will end up doing harm to the business that you're in. And by virtue of that, you will end up being not attractive to them because you won't be as good a business. So we just have to focus on doing what we're doing, growing as much as we can. We've got 15 million users at the peak of the season. We'd like to have 150 million users. That's a better goal than thinking about who might buy it.
I'm speaking with Rod Cuthbert. He is the founder of Roam to Rio about the business of blending technology with travel and transport. Stick around, Enterprise will be back in just a bit. BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
Hey, you're still listening to Enterprise with me, Arvind Yuvaraj, and special guest Rod Cuthbert, founder of Roam to Rio, a comprehensive global travel planner that helps you get from point A to point B worldwide. You can enter any town, address, or landmark in your destination fields, and Roam to Rio will instantly display flight, train, bus, ferry, and driving options with estimated travel times and fares. Been involved with tech and travel for most of your life, even before tech and travel were sort of working together hand in hand, and even before it was attractive.
Mm-hmm.
How did that happen? Like, why the keen interest in this sector?
I wouldn't say that I was so interested. I think these things are often serendipity as much as anything else. I found myself to be not a brilliant employee. Some people aren't as good at being employees as they are as being employers, so I thought I should jump to the other side. And the one way to do that quickly is to start your own company. I was fortunate that I had the opportunity back in the mid-90s to be around when the internet got started, and it was pretty clear that the internet was going to have a profound effect on not just business but life on our planet. So I think you would have had to have been blind in the mid-90s not to see the size of the opportunity that was coming along. But the fact that I ended up applying that knowledge to the travel space was purely coincidental and resulted from the fact that the first few customers that our little web company, our web design company, signed up were all in the travel industry just by chance of introduction. And it seemed like a fun space to be in, so we stayed there, but it wasn't by design.
That's interesting. So you're saying that it was a matter of chance, basically?
Yeah, we decided, a friend and I got together and said, let's hire some programmers and go out and sell web services to people, because people want to have websites. They're not quite sure why, but they want to have one. They don't know how to make one. Well, we can do that for them. So we got our first customer. It was a travel company, and they mentioned what they were doing to their friends, and it just, the word spread like wildfire. All of a sudden, we had 15 travel companies working for us, so we became the web travel specialists really quickly.
Yeah, but you know, that must have been like a risk, right? Because especially back in the 90s, because it wasn't the attractive sector that it is today, right? So how did you balance that risk and you know, just taking that chance?
Being older, I probably, you know, internet tech was new, but You know, in the world of mainframes and mini computers, and you know, it was still a huge industry. Tech was huge, and there wasn't any inherent risk associated with being in the IT industry. It was just a matter of what was hot at the time, and if there was some small risk associated with taking a punt on this internet thing, this web thing is going to be big, then yeah, there was a risk, but it didn't turn out to be a risk, really, did it?
No.
It was a very safe bet, actually.
Okay, let's talk about the important thing, the revenue. How does Roam to Rio make its money? So you list travel options, you help travelers find modes of transport. Where's your cut in all of this?
Okay, so when you have 15 million visitors to your website every month, you can make money from advertising. That's the first thing. And if you can do that in a way that's not obtrusive to your clients, then that can be a real win because it can fuel growth for the company. So we've been, I think, quite good at that. We've used data science techniques to minimize the amount of or the number of ads that we show and charge as much as we possibly can for them. So we push the number low and the floor price high. It's a really good combination. We make money, like everybody in travel, it seems, from selling hotels. And right now we do that through partnerships with Booking.com and Expedia. And we make money from commissions on the sale of trains and buses and ferries and things of that nature. So there's three different pots. And people come to our site because of the third one, but when they're there, they might see some ads, and they might also book a hotel.
I like that you said non-intrusive, because this is a bit controversial, but Google has a method of placing sponsored search results on their search results page, and they look exactly like an actual search option. That's not what Roam to Rio is doing.
No, it's very clear what's an ad and what isn't. And you're giving voice to the concern that so many people have, including the European Commission, about Google search practices, which I won't delve into here. Suffice to say that the European Commission aren't happy with them.
What about partnerships? You have partnerships with a lot of travel providers, and I can't think of any reason why a company wouldn't want to form partnerships. Like, it's just more exposure for them. So have you gotten any companies who don't want to partner up for whatever reason?
The sort of thing that holds companies back is just their own internal ability to respond. So an example would be that, I mentioned to you that we have great partnerships with the Italian railways, German, Spanish, UK railways, yet we're based in Australia and we don't have any partnerships with Australian railways. Now, that's because those organisations, whether it's Vic Rail or New South Wales Rail, they just haven't developed quite enough the internal practices and technologies that allow them to connect to somebody like us so that we can sell their tickets. They're just not far enough along in their technology. So that's frustrating. We expect to see that sort of thing from, say, a small bus operator or a small ferry operator who would say, hey, look around, we've got 8 employees here and 6 of them are drivers. Do you expect that we're going to have this API thing running? No, we don't have that. Now, that's reasonable. And, you know, our expectations would not be any different. But when you've got, you know, a huge IT department within a state-owned rail corporation in 2017, and they can't connect to a third party who has traffic and wants to sell their tickets online, that's very frustrating.
Since we're on the subject of challenges, what are the kinds of challenges that you faced with Roam to Rio and that you are currently facing with Roam to Rio?
I think the biggest hurdle for any business in travel on the web, so an online travel business, is gaining traction, and by that I mean consumer awareness. So how do you let people know that you've got this great service? So we spent, you know, probably most of 2013 and 2014 just focused on SEO as a problem. You know, how can we get people to come to the site, and how can we use data science to to seed the right pages in the Google index so that more and more people come to us. You know, we did really well addressing ourselves to that problem, and that's why we've got the traffic we have today.
Okay, touching on travel trends. So what kind of searches do you get mostly on the app? Like, are they more international searches, like from Japan to Switzerland kind of thing? Or are they more local, like just say within Malaysia, like from Johor to Penang? And what are some of the more interesting trends that you've seen pop up?
Interesting is a difficult question, but I think I've got a good answer for the first part of your question, is that two-thirds of all the searches that occur on Roam to Rio relate to travel in Europe. And the reason for that is that European travel is so complex and dense. If you look at the transportation network for, say, North America or Australia or South America, for that matter, you know, you can overlay the network, and by that I mean, you know, what all the routes are for buses and trains and ferries, and it's not a very thick web. But if you put the transportation network over the top of Western Europe, you can't see what's underneath it. There's just so much going on there. There's so many people moving so constantly on, and there's so many bus routes and trains and local trains and high-speed rails and other forms of transport occurring there that, you know, it's just ridiculous how dense it is.
So let's cap off with expansion. So what's next for Roam to Rio? Like, what are your plans moving forward?
So we want to have a lot more booking partnerships so that you can book anything that is bookable in the world in terms of transportation. We'd like to be able to offer it on Roam to Rio. Now, we've come a long way this year with that. So, you know, we're moving into a phase where in 2018 and 19 we'll be mopping up the smaller ones and going into markets where there isn't quite so much demand. And by that I mean, for instance, the bus networks around a country like Brazil. It's important, but it's not as important as trains in Italy in terms of volumes and what people are searching for. So, you know, that's a long and comprehensive project. I think we want to get a lot better on what we do on our apps. We want our Android and iPhone apps to be just, you know, really fabulously easy to use and with a UX that's consistent. So, you know, to follow my earlier example, booking a bus in New Zealand or a ferry in Croatia, it's sort of the same user experience, and people like that. You know, it's just like, wow, I was in New Zealand, I booked a bus, and I booked a ferry in Croatia, and it was like, it was the same thing. I already knew how to do it. That's good. People like that.
Be sure to check out and download Roam to Rio, the Roam to Rio app, via the App Store or the Play Store. Just look for Roam and then the number 2 and Rio. Alternatively, you can also check out all the information you need on roamtorio.com. There's also another app that you should download, and that's the BFM app. In case you miss any parts of the show and you need to stream the podcast, you can do it via the BFM app. Same thing, Apple App Store or Google Play Store. This has been Arvind Yuvaraj. Stick around because Resource Center is up next. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.